It's time, Fort Wayne. Your sports, your station. It's the Sports Rush with Brett Rump. Covering all the topics that hit a nerve here in the Summit City.
Clark, 11-yard touchdown.
Only on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Now, here's your host, Brett Rump.
The greatest, most interesting, most important person of all time.
You are incredible.
Over the boys.
Yeah, well, you're half right.
What is this, amateur hour?
This is going to be huge.
I believe this is going to be our fine show.
Just when I think you said the stupidest thing ever, you keep talking.
I think that's the worst thing I've ever heard.
That boy ain't right.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
Welcome to the alleged show.
Number two, taking you home on this Thursday on the Sports Rush. Derek Decker in for Brett Rump once again here today. It is Major League Baseball's opening day, and we've got full coverage for you coming up in this second hour. Also here in hour number two, Austin Render, the voice of IU Women's Basketball, will join the show to preview their matchup tomorrow night against South Carolina. Plus Parkview Sports Medicine's Duke, Eric Dukevich, hops on in the back half of this second hour to chat about state championship game this weekend, which we will have coverage for you right here on The Fan as Canterbury takes on Bethesda Christian in the 1A state championship at 10:30 in the morning. And we'll have coverage once again here on 1380 The Fan. Happy to bring that to you. We'll chat with him about that matchup and much more going on in the Sweet 16. This segment's going to be dedicated mostly to the Sweet 16 as well. We're going to talk about some of your texts and tweets that you've sent our way about baseball in the last hour. But before we get to that, let's check in with a scoreboard update. Here's Adam Lundy.
All right, let's get into it, my man.
I love it.
All right, it's the bottom of the fourth, and the Tigers have a 1-0 lead over the Chicago White Sox in the Windy City.
Scuba looks really good. Yes. I got an eye on that game, and he's dealing.
Love to hear it. It's the bottom of the sixth, and the Baltimore Orioles have a 8-1 lead over the Angels. After two, it's a tie 1-1 between the Twins and the Royals. Top of the fourth, the Astros have a 4-0 lead over the Yankees. Also top of the fourth, the Marlins with a 4-2 lead over the Pirates. Bottom of the fourth, the Giants have a 1-0 lead over the San Diego Padres. Middle of the second, it's the Dodgers over the Cardinals 2-0. Top of the fifth, it's a 1-1 run tie between the Blue Jays and the Tampa Bay Rays. And after three, the Cincinnati Reds are rolling over the Nationals 7-0.
And there it is. Time for overreaction time. Oh, the Reds going to have an explosive offense? Are they going to be able to compete in the NL Central? That is a great start for the Reds to begin the season. And again, I think opening day in Cincinnati is one of the coolest things in the sport. The Queen City does it better than just about anybody. And even though I have maybe non-affectionately referred to Cincinnati as the Nasty Natty multiple times, I have been to Great American Ballpark probably more times than I've been to any other ballpark in the major leagues. Comerica Park's probably a close second. But those two I have been to the most. And both totally underrated ballparks. I think they both have solid fan bases. Reds fans really showed out last year when they were good. And you know, again, it doesn't take for like the Reds and Tigers are a lot more similar, I think, than they are different in terms of fan bases and support. Like those teams, all you have to be is like competitively good, like not even totally threatening to make the playoffs all the time, just being solid enough that they're exciting to watch. Now, the Reds certainly had probably the most exciting player in the sport for most of last season. Coming on, especially when he made his debut, the first few weeks were just a whirlwind for Ellie De La Cruz. And, you know, Brett refound his Reds fandom throughout last summer, and we got to hear some about that. But, the fans really came out to the ballpark and showed out. And that's all it takes is just being competitive and being fun to watch. They certainly were that last year, even though they fell short ultimately by a number of games of making the playoffs. But we had asked at the top of the show to say, hey, what's your favorite memory of opening day? If you are just joining the broadcast, opening day, what's your favorite memory? 46862 is the number to text. It's our Parkview Sports Medicine text line. I want to say to this text, you know, that says, I thought you said yesterday baseball was the only sport that everyone's in contention at the beginning of the year, and then I said the White Sox are not. Well, I'm a talk show host. I'm allowed to say what I want. I should not be held accountable for anything I say. And I think the White Sox stink. I think they've got a season ahead of them where 100 wins is definitely in the realm of possibility.
100 wins.
Or 100 losses, I'm there sorry. Yeah, see, there, I'm blanking on what's going on now because – you know, you got me thrown off with holding me accountable. That's just ridiculous to throw back what I said in my own face. But now the White Sox could lose 100 games. They should finish in the cellar of the AL Central. And there's just not a lot of hope. I will be shocked if they come within 10 or 12 games of 500 this year. I just will be blown away. I'll actually be blown away if they don't lose 100 games. The White Sox do not have position right now where they are ready to be competitive. And unfortunately for the Sox fans out there, I know there's some out there that are listening to our show today. They missed their window of contention. We were talking about that. The last three, the great news about the AL Central is that they've had winners, three different winners in the last three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
White Sox, then Guardians, then Twins.
Yeah.
And so that's great. There's been great parity in the AL Central. It's never been a great division. Really the last time that a dominant team, like a historically dominant long stretch team was in the division was the Tigers back in the early 2010s when they won four in a row, I think it was. And they just had built kind of a dynasty of getting into the playoffs. And of course they fell short in the World Series once and ultimately had some big time bad blowouts in the playoffs and some horrific moments during that stretch. It's pretty incredible. The Tigers did not get a ring during that time.
No, but great era regardless.
Fun team to watch as my childhood went along.
It kind of reminds me of the early 2010s Knicks with Carmelo Anthony.
That's right. You know, how does Melo, how do things keep flaming out in the playoffs for
right.
Melo? It's just amazing.
But circling back to this Nationals-Reds game where the Reds currently lead 7-0, top of the fourth, have yourself an opening day Nick Martini. He's got two home runs. He's 2-for-2.
Okay.
5 RBIs. So...
okay.
Have yourself an opening day.
Okay.
Nick Martini hitting in the 8th spot, too, at DH. Mm.
Little 3 spot in the 2nd and 4 spot in the 3rd. That is the most home run friendly ballpark in some spots in the major leagues. One of the most friendly all the way around, but especially friendly to lefties. Great American, the ball flies out of there with regularity.
Martini now the first Reds player with 2 home runs on opening day since Dunn in 07. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, Martini, that lefty stick that's got the power there. It's part of the reason why Joey Votto had such success throughout his career in Cincinnati, and it is just not right to see him play for a different team right now.
That is strange.
It's just not right. It's like if, and I know, listen, Miguel Cabrera, almost everybody remembers him for pretty much his entire career as a Tiger. He started in Florida with the Marlins and had all those great moments as a rookie when he hopped on the scene and then was a Tiger for almost his entire career. But that's like Miguel Cabrera playing his last season or two somewhere that's not in Detroit. It just doesn't make sense to the sport, right?
No.
It's kind of a bummer that he's not playing for the Reds, honestly, to finish out. And it is what it is, but he's got a chance to be on a playoff team this year. I think one of the unfortunate realities of Joey Votto's career is kind of that same thing.
Right.
No real playoff success that you can kind of staple on. And again, Miguel Cabrera, one of the greatest right-handed hitters in the history of the game, is going to go out without a ring and without a ring in Detroit. And that's just really unfortunate, but it's the way it goes. The sport can be pretty brutal. It's so difficult to win in the playoffs, but it's awesome to see Major League Baseball and all of our local teams and teams across the country playing. Cubs fans waiting for 7:35 tonight when they get a crack at the defending champion Texas Rangers. Well, tonight we've got basketball coming up on the hardwood, a full slate of games. 4 of them that you can hear right here on 1380 The Fan, courtesy of Westwood One. Clemson and Arizona is our first game at 7:09. Then at 7:39, San Diego State takes on UConn. Alabama UNC at 9:39. Illinois Iowa State, the late game at 10:09, which I think is totally ridiculous to be starting a game on the East Coast well after 10 o'clock. Adam Lundy, are you intrigued by any of these 4 matchups tonight?
I'll be watching them all just because I'm a hoops junkie and mm-hmm. I want to see who's going to move on to the next round into the Elite Eight. I'm looking forward to the rematch of San Diego State UConn, but I do think that UConn is just an even better team than they were last season, so I give that edge to UConn there.
Mm-hmm.
Clemson, Arizona, I can't say I'm like chomping at the bits to see that one. Alabama, North Carolina will be good. I think that's going to be a very high score.
200 points kind of game.
Yeah, 200 points. And then, yeah, I think Illinois, Iowa State might be the best game of the slate.
Today. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think the late games are definitely the more intriguing. Again, Alabama, UNC should have no short of offense. I know Alabama ended up winning what was kind of a lower scoring game for them against Grand Canyon at the end of last weekend. That's just because both teams shot it so poorly.
Yeah.
They are such a good shooting and high scoring, fast tempoed offense. I expect them to be much closer to 100 tonight. And North Carolina doesn't have a problem scoring the rock either. So
no, just taking a look at the over-under for that.
That's ridiculous.
174.5.
Stop it. 174 in a college game. Just for reference, the other three over-unders tonight are 152.5, 147.5, and 136.5.
Yeah.
And they're at 174.5. That's just mind-boggling. But again, if you want to see a game that has tons of offense, Alabama's and UNC is the one to watch
yep.
for tonight. And of course, if we do get Arizona winning that first game, I think the matchup is really fun, whether Alabama upsets North Carolina or not. UNC only a 4.5-point favorite.
Yep.
And then Illinois and Iowa State wraps up the day. Illinois playing in their first second weekend game in more than 20 years. How does Brad Underwood fare against a blistering, white-hot Iowa State team? Iowa State a 1.5-point favorite. To me, that's definitely the pick of the night in Boston starting a little after 10 o'clock. Again, you can catch coverage, whip-around coverage of all four games right here on 1380 The Fan. Got to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll be on the phone with Austin Render, the voice of IU women's basketball, for a full preview and breakdown of their matchup with South Carolina coming up tomorrow night. Also, a little bit of a look back on their regional win at home as they took down the Oklahoma Sooners Monday night at Assembly Hall in Bloomington. That and much more on the other side of this break. I'm Derek Decker, in for Brett Rump on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hour number two of the Sports Rush, Derek Decker filling in today for Brett Rump here as we welcome in to the guest line, Austin Render, the voice of IU women's basketball and baseball. Austin, fun night on Monday, and great for Indiana to get a little redemption after last year's team faltered in their own regional as a one seed. They had to grit and grind one out in kind of an unusual, ugly type of game where Indiana really didn't shoot it well, ultimately held on for a 75-68 win against the five seed Oklahoma on Monday.
Yeah, Derek, it felt a little bit like deja vu. It felt like we were watching a very similar game to the Miami game the year before, but what they did that they didn't do the year before besides winning was find a way to win without your best shooting night. I mean, 3-for-16 from the three-point line is not going to get it done most of the night. But Mackenzie Holmes, I was just so happy for her because she's finally getting to play in the postseason healthy, and you saw it on full display. Oklahoma decided to single cover her, and they did. They posted her up, and then they would repost her up, and she kind of showed off her skills there in the second half. And you could just feel she was not going to let this team lose and kind of put them on her back there at the end.
Yeah, Indiana, again, didn't even have a great night finishing inside. Missed 18 layups in the game, but Mackenzie Holmes dominant in the second half. Hey, one question that's been floating around women's basketball is the problem of, do you move women's games in the first and second round to neutral sites, or do you keep them at home sites? Now, again, we're both going to be biased here in this section, especially because Indiana's hosted 3 years in a row, but just an electric atmosphere again at Assembly Hall. And I think for a sport that's still growing in terms of getting attention, be hard-pressed to find a real reason to move to alternate neutral sites with far fewer fans in attendance.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. You're going to have far fewer fans if you go neutral site. I mean, you don't have to look that far to see when Indiana was done playing Fairfield on Saturday and Florida Gulf Coast and Oklahoma took the stage. Probably 80% of the crowd yeah. didn't stick around, and they're there to see their team. They're there to see the Hoosiers. And so I think it's a good thing for women's basketball in terms of fan attendance. I also think, look, I mean, you got Duke upsetting Ohio State and I think 2 5 seeds in the Sweet 16. But outside of that, it's thoroughbred in the Sweet 16. And you can kind of control that a little bit with the home court advantage and allowing more teams to avoid those early round upsets. Now, is it impossible to to lose at home? No. Obviously, Indiana did that. Stanford did that last year. Ohio State this year. But I do think it keeps the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, the Final Four a little bit more interesting because South Carolina, LSU, Iowa, the thoroughbreds of the sport are going to get out because they're dominant at home. They're going to take advantage of that, and you're going to get better matchups because of it in the later rounds.
Well, you brought up South Carolina. That is Indiana's opponent tomorrow, hanging out in Albany, New York. Austin, this is a matchup certainly where Indiana goes in and trying to take down the pretty much undisputed best team in the country at this point and the clear favorites to win the national title. I did catch a little bit of your post game driving back on Monday, and you made a comment about you feeling like Indiana matches up well with the South Carolina team, maybe the best just in terms of one-on-one matchups than maybe any other team left in the tournament. Explain why that's the case.
Yeah, I think on paper they do. I think you've got to have a big who can go up with Camila Cardoso. And is Mackenzie Holmes going to put up 29? Likely not. But can she go toe-to-toe with Camila Cardoso? Absolutely. And then you got to have shooters. I mean, think about most March upsets that you think about in the NCAA tournament are because somebody got hot from the three-point line or a team got hot from the three-point line. And they got the job done that way. Indiana, they've dropped. They're now the third-best three-point shooting team in the country, but they're still at about 40%. They've got four players shooting 39% or better from three. I just think that they have the ingredients to pull the upset. Now, it's easier said than done. I do think that Tennessee showed a little bit of a blueprint. What I would say to that is it's a different team. Tennessee's a big physical team. Indiana's more of a finesse, three-point shooting, kind of beat you with the good flow of an offense type of team. So it's two different, completely different styles. But I do think on paper, Indiana does have the ingredients to match up with South Carolina.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the Gamecocks, too. This is a lineup that went completely through the ringer after last season. They lost all five of their starters. Aaliyah Boston obviously hanging out with the Indiana Fever now after the number one overall pick. They also had a couple of bench players drafted into the WNBA. So they started fresh, and they've managed to put together an undefeated season. How have they done that?
Well, it's incredible because when they took the floor in the opener against Notre Dame, I think most people thought this is going to be a step-back season for South Carolina. And then they went out and beat them by 30 in the first game of the year and haven't looked back. They do it because they've added shooters this year. They have Tahina Pau-Pau, who is one of the best three-point shooters in the country, shooting at 48%. They've added her to the roster. She's a transfer from Oregon, a freshman Tessa Johnson, shooting the ball well off the bench. As a team, they're 40%, second best in the country, right there with Indiana. If you remember last season when Iowa beat them in the Final Four, Iowa took their defenders off the guards and brought them into the paint so they couldn't get the ball into Aaliyah Boston because they didn't have shooters. Well, this year, you can't do that with Camila Cardoso because they do have shooters. Pau-Pau, Johnson, Bree Hall, Malaysia Full-Wiley's having an incredible stretch here down the final parts of the season. So there's McDonald's All-Americans up and down the roster, and Dawn Staley is kind of doing the old John Calipari strategy in some way, like just bringing in some freshmen and figuring it out. And they have figured it out to the point of not losing all season, and it is a well-built basketball team.
5 o'clock tip-off on Friday, ESPN, Indiana and South Carolina. IU taking on the overall number one seed in the NCAA Women's Tournament. Talk with Austin Render, the voice of the Hoosiers for women's basketball and for baseball. Austin, you've been along for some of the most special seasons of Indiana women's basketball. What does it say that this program has taken a step to a point where they've been in the Sweet 16 now three of the last four seasons? After being before that, you could count the number of NCAA tournament wins in the program's history on one hand. What does seeing that turnaround firsthand look like for you?
Well, it's just, you see it slowly. You see all right, we're in the NCAA tournament. All right, we won a game. All right, we're competitive with one of the top seeds. Okay, we made it to a Sweet 16 and kind of overshot it a little bit in 2021, making it all the way to the Elite Eight. And that's where they're trying to get back to. But just seeing the sustained success. You graduate Allie Patberg and Brenna Wise, Are they going to take a step back? No, they go to another Sweet 16. You graduate Grace Berger. Are they going to take a step back? No, they go to another Sweet 16. So that's the mark of a great program, is when you lose a great player, a pillar in your program, that you stay successful. And so obviously next season, losing Mackenzie Holmes and Sarah Scalia, that will certainly be the next step, is making, kind of keeping that consistency. But it's been so cool to see not only the team's success, but just the fan base's embrace of this team, the way they have brought them in. They are truly Bloomington's team. It feels like my first year or so, there wasn't a whole lot of talk or buzz around this team, and now it's you can't go anywhere without talking about the women's basketball team. So that's been the biggest change to me, is just seeing how much of a difference this team is making in the Bloomington community.
Yeah, it's been really cool, too. My freshman year on campus, going to games where you'd have some nights when you're around 3,000 fans, maybe, if you're lucky. And that was still pretty good at the time in the Big Ten. And it has just exploded to a completely new level that's beyond anything. And Indiana and Iowa, two of the biggest draws of any team in the round of 32, with massive home court advantages and big attendances. Of course, Iowa had the sellout streak all season long, but Indiana was right up there in the top five in attendance. That says a lot about a team that was not one of necessarily the quote-unquote elite teams in college basketball this year.
Yeah, I think we averaged a little over 4,000 fans a game my first year, and now we're averaging over 10,000 in my third year. So it has been such an incredible turnaround. I do believe that means people were sick of listening to me and they're starting to go to the games. But no, it's so cool to see everybody and to see how much the community loves these players, and to see how well the players handle it, how they are always so willing to take pictures and sign things. There's so many young ladies that are coming to the game and want to get pictures with Sidney Parrish. They want to talk to Mackenzie Holmes. They want to see Sarah Scalia. And it makes their day, their week, to just get them to take a picture with them. And the girls do such a good job of that, just with a big smile on their face. And it's so cool to see the way that they engage with the community as well.
Yeah, and it was really cool for me to see, too, just driving down. Usually the only times that you pass other teams coming from Fort Wayne, other fans on 69 or whatever, is if you're going to a football game or a men's basketball game, and that's completely changed. You go down to any home game for the IU women these days, and you're passing a ton of fans on their way down. Austin, running a little short on time, real quick on your way out. You've had a chance to see Indiana baseball a number of times so far throughout the season. They had such a hot start to the year. Pitching has been a little bit of a problem. And they're trailing to Butler in the middle innings on the road today, starting a little four-game weekend before an Easter break. How does Indiana turn this thing around? They've got a couple real quality wins on their slate. You think back to Dallas Baptist, Coastal Carolina in the first week of the season. How does Indiana kind of rekindle some of that magic and put some consistently good wins together throughout the Big Ten slate?
I mean, that's the million-dollar question right now, Derek. I think that's the question that Jeff Mercer is trying to figure out, and it's a question that nobody has an answer to right now. It's so strange with how the season started to where it is now. I think it's not necessarily all pitching. I think the pitching has been a huge issue, and getting the plane off the ground has been a huge issue. I mean, even today, they gave up 3 runs in the first inning to Butler. The amount of times that they have fallen behind by multiple runs right out of the gate. They've had home games where they give up 4, 5, 6 runs in the top of the first inning. And that's dejecting on the offense when that happens. But the offense has to be more consistent, and it hasn't been. And that's where some of the good pitching performances have been spoiled. So it's been hard to kind of pair the two together. And that's where you got to find a way to get better starts on the mound, but more consistency at the plate. And if they can figure that out, then obviously they can go on a run, but that's kind of the big dilemma that this team's facing right now.
Austin Render, the voice of IU Women's Basketball and Baseball, joining us on the guest line. Austin, always fun to talk to you. So glad we could make this work today. Enjoy Albany, and looking forward to your call tomorrow night.
Derek, thanks so much for having me. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Austin Render. We're going to take another break. When we come back, our weekly chat with Duke, Eric Dukevich of Parkview Sports Medicine. We're going to talk to him about this weekend's state championship game in boys basketball between Canterbury and Bethesda Christian. Talk some Sweet 16 and what's going on out at PSN when we come back. I'm Derek Decker, in for Brett Rump on the Sports Rush, 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Last full segment on this Thursday afternoon. Happy Major League Baseball opening day. And our full slate of games is in progress right now. We are keeping tabs on it here in our 1380 The Fan studio. Joining us now on the guest line is Duke, Eric Dukevich from Parkview Sports Medicine. Duke, welcome to the show. How are you this week?
Good afternoon. And, happy opening day. I know it's another milestone on the calendar as we head towards spring to see, you know, baseball being played. And I know it's a big day for a lot of people with a lot of different teams because everybody starts off at 0-0 and you say, wait till next year, and next year is here.
That's exactly right. Well, hey, turning from baseball to the hardwood, how about this? Canterbury and Bethesda Christian, couple teams. Not both teams that necessarily expected to be here. I think we've had a couple of groups that have made solid tournament runs. A 10:30 tip-off down at Gainbridge Fieldhouse on Saturday. We'll have the coverage here on 1380 The Fan. How does this matchup look to you? Great to see a local team down in Indy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Canterbury, the only team from the Fort Wayne area to make it down to state this year. And first trip for them, first trip for Bethesda Christian, which is down by Brownsburg, Indiana, and kind of that Indy Metroplex area, an up-and-coming school that just opened, probably about 20 years ago now. So, you know, I think, you know, they've never won state. They've never been down there, both of these teams, first time. So somebody's going to leave there with a state championship. For Canterbury, it's kind of been the story of kind of a tale of two seasons, if you will. I mean, the regular season, and then go through it. I mean, they started 0-2, then they go to 1-5, and then they get on this roll in that second half of the season where they've won 8 straight games and just continue to keep moving on. And for them, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, 8 straight wins, 11 of their last 12. How far can they take this? And they're playing really good basketball. They've increased their scoring average from 58 during the season to 60 in playoffs. And their defense has come up big, too, going from 50 points a game given up to now 45.8. They're going to need that defense against this Bethesda Christian team that comes in and really they've increased their scoring average, averaging 61 in the playoffs, and their defense, too, is also very good. So it should be a fun one. Bethesda comes in having beaten the number 1 team, the number 13 team, and the number 5 team during this playoff. So they've got a little bit more of the tournament resume. Canterbury has a little bit more of the cachet of playing a lot of good talent in Fort Wayne area and not being a part of a conference. So it should be interesting with this clash. But I just think that Bethesda, to pick a winner, I think Bethesda probably is the favorite in this one. They're number 8 in the polls, and I just worry that it's just a lot of what they've been able to do all year long will give fits to Canterbury. But hey, this could be a good one, an early start, the first state finals game of the weekend, and we should have a fun one down at Gainbridge.
Well, how about Canterbury playing with a little house money here? Do you feel like maybe that's some of the feeling for this team, for a group that was so far below 500, didn't have a ton of expectations coming in, and they've made it this far? Why not go win the thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the other side of the coin, too. I mean, they were 8-17 a year ago. This is the fourth season for Derek Adams, who's 40-56 over that time frame. So this is a team that, you know, in 2016, they get to the regional and they really haven't done much since. And, you know, there have been a lot of changes over there, and they've gone through a few coaches. They've settled in with Derek Adams, and he's got this team going. The sectional that they're in, that Southern Wells sectional, that's where it was played this year with Northfield and Southwood. Southwood was one of those teams that last 3 or 4 years had made deep runs. They tripped up Blackhawk Christian 1 year, you know, to get to the state championship game and ultimately lose. So, you know, Canterbury has played some tough opponents throughout the year and has played to get to this point. It's a similar school to them, and I think that's what benefits them. And it should be a good one. And hey, yeah, the object is to win the state championship, and you've got that opportunity. And they've got some really good players, and Devin Lewis on that team for them, and John Parent, Tucker Day. So three guys averaging double digits in scoring. That makes it a really high-powered offense, and you like to see them clicking this time of year and peaking at the right time.
Yeah, once again, our coverage will start right around 10:30 on Saturday morning, 1A state championship between Canterbury and Bethesda Christian. Talking with Eric Dukevich of Parkview Sports Medicine. Duke, we've got a full slate of Sweet 16 games going on tonight. Yeah. Four tonight, four tomorrow. What grabs your attention from this first night? Because there are some really fun matchups, thanks to all the 1 and 2 seeds making it through to the second weekend this year.
Yeah, well, I think locally the one that draws my attention is that Illinois-Iowa State game, just by virtue of the geography of it, with those two teams and kind of the ride that they've been on. Iowa State, coming in with the number one defense, Illinois, one of the top offenses in the country, and so something's got to give there. You know, the Big 12 champs, Big 10 champs, that there locally is pretty good. So that one I'm looking forward to seeing. That I think that's the latest game. But also, too, you look at in Alabama and North Carolina. I mean, two, blue bloods in different sports, but now matching up where you don't see that matchup too often. So that should be a good one. And, of course, UConn and San Diego State, a rematch in the national championship from a year ago. Two teams that probably make the Final Four. Well, they do make the Final Four, probably weren't expected to be there. They go to the championship game. UConn pulls out the victory, San Diego State is a team that I think they finished fifth or sixth in their conference, and here they are out of the Mountain West, a team that got a lot in. Big East did not, but Big East still has three of their teams in. That should be a fun one to see, too. And then Clemson, kind of a surprise there on one side of it going up against Arizona. That should be good. So a really interesting matchups, around the area. So it should be a good night of basketball here to start out the Sweet 16.
Yeah, and of course, tomorrow night, fun games as well. Purdue and Gonzaga getting ready to battle. 6:30 is our pregame coverage here with Rob Blackman and the Purdue Global Sports Network here on 1380 The Fan. But also a very intriguing slate of games. The only double-digit seed tomorrow that made it through NC State, but they are perhaps the hottest team or amongst them in the country.
Yeah, I mean, every team is hot if you're still in it. I mean, and that's what it amounts to. What you want to do is win and advance. So that, that objective, which is, I think, a 30-for-30 title, win and advance, survive and advance, was the North Carolina State Wolfpack from 1983. They're in it now as an 11 seed, a team that was, I think, their 11th seed in their conference tournament. They go on the roll, and that's the reason they're there. Marquette, very good all year long. That's who they match up against. You have a Duke and Houston matchup in the Sweet 16. Houston looked good all year. Creighton and Tennessee is going to be a really good game at the 2-3 seed on the bottom half of that Midwest bracket. And of course, around here, me included, everybody turning in to Detroit to see what happens between the Purdue Boilermakers and Gonzaga Bulldogs. Two teams that met earlier in the year in November. Purdue wins by 10. Both teams have the same rankings, and how different is Gonzaga? They finished second in their conference to St. Mary's. They get the 5 seed in the tournament, 24 straight tournament appearances for them. And then Purdue, it's just they got over the hump of the first round and handled business and dominated Utah State in the second round. Now you can it's that survive and advance mentality. Not being done yet, going on. And obviously, the dream is the Final Four. For schools like Duke, it's always we go to the, we want to go to the Final Four every year. That's the goal, national championships, Final Fours. IU fans will still say that, and rightfully so, I suppose, in some way. For Purdue, it's not, the expectation of getting to a Final Four. It's that dream, and that dream has to continue with beating Gonzaga tomorrow night. I think the Boilermakers can get it done. Their guard play and the rebounding outside of Zach Edey has been huge for them. The second chance points, the opportunities, and I think that's what will be key for them. Gonzaga looked really good, though. 86 versus McNeese State, 89 versus Kansas. So, you know, can you slow them down? Turnovers and guard play is what the tournament's all about. We'll see how the Boilermakers fare up with the Bulldogs come tomorrow night.
Yep, and we'll have coverage of all eight games, whip around coverage tonight and tomorrow here on 1380 The Fan. All right, dude, what's going on out at Parkview Sports Medicine? I think some performance training taking place. What can you break down about Edge?
Yeah, absolutely. Our PSM Edge program, just a good reminder for people that getting done with their winter season, you know, maybe to kind of have some off time, maybe not doing a spring sport, or maybe you are too. We have convenient sports performance training, athlete-centered, individualized, with our PSM Edge program. Throughout the week, come in, convenient for you. And it also helps you in whatever sports you're doing. So, you know, maybe you were a basketball player getting ready for baseball season, or now you're into baseball season, and you're looking to be able to do it during baseball season too. We have that opportunity where you can, in a convenient schedule, come in, sports-specific performance training that will help you be a good part of that. To learn more, go to parkviewsportsmedicine.com/edge. You can get started there, and they'll get a free consultation for you, kind of figure out where you are as an athlete and where we can help you, and come be part of the PSM Edge program and the fast-growing performance training that we have here in the Fort Wayne area.
Parkview Sports Medicine's Duke, Eric Dukevich. Thanks so much for joining the show. Looking forward to what this weekend brings for our local high school team that's in the state championship and all the Sweet 16 action taking place. Thanks a lot for joining.
Yep, thank you. Best of luck to Canterbury and boiler up, I'll say.
I love it. All right, we got to take one more break. When we come back, we'll wrap up this Thursday show of the Sports Rush. Derek Decker filling in for Brett Rump today on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Last segment of the Sports Rush here today, and Derek Decker wrapping it up here, filling in for Brett, my third day pinch hitting off the bench. And Brett's flight, hopefully, and the Dons will be back in town soon. Boy, it's been a heck of a whirlwind for them. CIT runners-up as Purdue Fort Wayne lost last night at Norfolk State, but a heck of a season, 23 wins for John Kaufman's group, and really fun to see the Dons play for a title last night. Wrapping up a couple of news nuggets here at the end of the show. Ben Humrickhouse, the Tipton High School grad, played at Huntington University. Some of you may be familiar with him. 6'9 senior, had played at Evansville last season, this calendar year. And he shot over 41% from three. He's in the transfer portal, and he does have some eligibility remaining. Could that be of potential interest to any of our teams in the state? We'll find out soon, but I thought that was an interesting name. Credit Adam for bringing that up and seeing that here at the end of our show today. Got to thank Adam Lundy, as always, for producing our show. Thanks a lot, too, to Austin Render, the voice of IUN's basketball, and Eric Dukevich from PSM. That's all of our guests for today. For our entire crew here at 1380 The Fan, our sports director, Caleb Hatch, enjoy opening day in Major League Baseball and Sweet 16 tonight. Don't forget, the High School Coaches Show is next. I'm Derek Decker saying so long and God bless.